to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Sinner, new song called Wait. Not a bad song. I liked it. It's got a really kind of cool melodic vibe to it. And they've always kind of had like a good melodic type sensibility about them. Even from the beginning where they're a bit heavier. And it kind of goes back to some of the stuff I was playing last week where I was going back to playing, you know, like the Stradivarius, where I was like, all right, well, here's a new one. You know, where do they go? They sound the same. I think Sinner's kind of one of those bands, too. They kind of fall in that category where they have a sound. And they don't defer too far away. I'm not saying they sound like, you know, Motorhead or AC/DC or something like that. But it seems like as they've gotten older, they've gotten a little bit more melodic. In the beginning, I think they were a bit heavier. And they do have the addition of a new singer, or I guess a co-singer with Matt Sinner. I'm not quite sure how it all works within the band, but there's a guy named Georgia Colelori. I hope I didn't butcher his name. But he's been in the band since 2018. Before that, it was pretty much Matt doing all the vocals. And it's not a bad vocalist, but, you know, bringing in Georgia, this guy's got a good voice too. So they actually do some really nice harmonies in that song, Wait, you just heard. So something I wanted to do, kind of like what we did a little bit last week, is play something, you know, older and just do kind of a little comparison. So I got into the band on a record called The Nature of Evil. And The Nature of Evil came out in 1998. So I was a late bloomer. The band started in 1982. So it took me 16 years before I discovered them. And it was kind of that like grunge period, you know, where you're learning about European bands that didn't really make it big over the U.S. And I want to say Lee introduced me to Sinner and Primal Fear, which Matt's in Primal Fear as well. So a couple of just really great, solid German heavy metal bands putting out great music. So back to my point, I tell you what, let's play a classic from Sinner. We'll do a twofer. It's maybe Tuesday when you're listening, I don't know. But this one is a title track off The Nature of Evil. Let's do it. We'll be right back. better. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, I think Nature of Evil, I like the old stuff, but I like this new song, Wait. It's a good song. I mean, they're writing good music, and being around since 1982, that's impressive to me. Where there's these bands, it's like they seem like they forget how to write music. They can't make great music anymore after a certain amount of time. And there's so many, I've been thinking about so many lately of, you know, these bands that just, they peter out after a certain point in their career. And then everything after a certain, did this last great record, maybe they're like, ah, oh, we can't top it. Everything's even mediocre. Or maybe they're like, all right, we've made it. We don't have to try anymore. And, you know, we'll just kind of coast. Which, you know, when bands coast, I check out. But a lot of people, they stick around. You know, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I'd like to ask the next, you know, seasoned musician I talk to, you know, hey, is there a point where, you know, you put out these great records where you're like, oh, God, I'm tired. And let's just see what we can come up with. And maybe you're not happy with it. And I'll ask him, is there a record you weren't happy with? So, food for thought. But if you liked Wait, you have to wait for the brand new release from Center. It's called Boom Bang Goodbye, coming out on July 31st on Raining Phoenix Music. So we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll listen to a couple more singles, and if I dig it, maybe I'll end up buying that bad boy. You never know. Stranger things have happened. So next thing I want to do is I want to talk about a show I recently went to, and I've talked about it, and I did a post about it here on Instagram a couple weeks back. Been busy. Been very busy, as you can see. Went to Triumph. Saw them in April Wine in Dallas. Met up with my friend Lee. And was very excited about this show. Really was. Before I get into it, why don't we play some classic Triumph? Let's do it. And we typically play a deeper track. I do have to admit, Follow Your Heart is one of my favorite Triumph songs. Love that song. When I was younger, when Thunder 7 came out, holy shit, I love that song. It's a great song. Not discounting it at all, but as I get into the story, I'll tell you why. Maybe I'm a little sour on it now, but we'll get there. We'll get there. So, drive to Dallas, do my thing. Hit a couple of my favorite breweries there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, one called Celestial and one called Odd Muse. Because you know when you get to the venue, it's just going to be a shit show with horrible beer, and it's high price if you drink. If you don't drink, you don't care. It's not a big thing to you. But if you're still going to be paying $5, $6, $7 for a fucking water, which is ridiculous. Live Nation fucks you so hard with these prices for the venues and the beverages and the food and everything. They totally take advantage of the rock bands. But I'm not here to complain about that. We all have that same complaint. But anyway, so I get there and I get in line. There's a pretty good line. I figured, wow, this may sell out in the venue. Lee had told me the venue's really cool. It's like, it looks like it's kind of half indoor, half outdoor. I've never really ever been in a venue like this where I actually got seats inside where there's AC and it's comfortable. And then there's kind of a lawn which is kind of cool. It's kind of covered and stuff, and it's not like the venue here in Houston called Cynthia Woods, where it's like a shed. You're covered by a shed if you buy the covered seats, and then if you're in the lawn, you're just out in Mother Nature. So, you know, live with it. And in July, it's no fun. I'm just going to tell you that. It's not a lot of fun out there. It's hot as fuck. July, August, September, probably not the best time to do lawn seats. But if you want to go see a concert and not pay a fucking arm and a leg for a reserve seat, hey, you do it, right? Anyway, I get there and I get in line and I'm like, wow, everybody is so fucking old here. It's like, I thought I had just got to an old folks home and they were in line for food or something. I mean, I swear to God, it was like so many old people. And I get it, they were from the 70s, but I'm in my 50s. But I don't look, I mean, these people look a lot older than me. And that's my mentality. I always tell myself, I'm like, I'm younger than that motherfucker. Though I have aches and pains of my age now, I don't act and I don't think I look my age, but whatever. That's that's to be voted on or whatever. So anyway, I'm looking at that, and then I'm seeing these fucking, all these shirts like Cabo Wabo and that metal show, and I'm starting to get sick to my stomach a little bit. I mean, these fucking losers, if you're my fan, sorry, I'm not pointing you out. You're cool because whatever, but... no, you're cool. You are cool. It's not a whatever. It's not a whatever thing. You're very cool. Maybe you liked something and it's not as cool as you thought. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Get your shit together, Ragman.
Hey, I'm trying. I'm very flustered here. So that's going on. And then I'm waiting in line and this guy fucking shits his pants or something. I mean, I'm not sure what it is with the shitting and the farting, but I mean, thank God I was outside, but I was holding my breath. I'm like, fuck, this line's not moving. This guy's shitting his pants in front of me, and now I gotta wait, or maybe he's shitting his adult diaper. He's so fucking old, he probably shitting his adult diaper. Let's be honest. So finally get in, and I'm like, it's not a bad venue. Then I run into my friend Lee. We get to catch up, which is very cool. And then I'm like, okay, we got merch. And the line for merch was crazy. Very long line. And you got to kind of figure that after Triumph's been gone for so long. A lot of people are going to want to merch up. Me being one. And it's kind of cool when you go to a merch line and you're like, oh, well, there's like three or four shirts I wouldn't mind having. So it was funny because Lee and I got this debate. It's like, hey, I'm going to, if this one sells out, I got my number two, I got my number three, I got my number four. And if number four is out there, then I guess I'm going to go home without a shirt. Not worried about it. So I get my shirt. Lee gets his shirt. We go to our seats. And then I'm thirsty. I'm like, fuck, I want a beer. So... you know me, I'm beer snob, so I go to the first tent, and I'm like, hey, you got any craft beer? They're like, well, we got this. I'm like, well, that's not really craft beer. Shiner's not really craft beer. I forget what it was. They had Deep Ellum, which is not even brewing. I don't even know what's going on with them. They shut down a while back. I'm like, I really don't like that beer that much. But then this lady says, hey, there's a craft beer at the tent down there. I'm like, wow, okay. So I walked down to the next little booth thing and asked the lady, I said, hey, do you have craft beer? She goes, yeah, I've got this, and this. I was like, oh shit, you got Manhattan Project. I like me some Manhattan Project. And I'm one of my favorite breweries in Dallas by far. They're good, they're solid. They make good beer. Are they great? No, but they're good, they're solid. And for a concert to get something that good, you're like, fuck, I won the lotto. Until I saw the fucking price tag. Granted, the can's probably 20 ounces or so, but they charged me $22 fucking dollars for this beer. So I'm paying about a dollar an ounce for a fucking beer. I'm like, all right, good craft beer, whatever. So they open it, walk to my seat, and I smell it. And I'm like, fuck me. The Beard Gone Bad. And I've said, I'm sitting there debating with myself. So I don't know what you guys will do. You craft beer nerds would probably do what I did. But just normal beer drinkers, maybe you're like, oh, it's not that bad. You don't taste it, smell it like I do, because my senses are hyperactive that way. So I was like, fuck this. I paid $22 for a fucking beer I can't drink or enjoy. Fuck this. So I go back. I talk to the guy. I give him the beer. I said, the beer's bad. He goes, just looks at me like, fuck you. I was like, hey, pal. I know you're having a bad day. You're working at this fucking thing. You can't even see the stage. But I want my money back or give me something else. So he fucking slams or throws the fucking can down in the trash can. And I think he's going to give me my money back. And I'm like, you know, fuck it. Just give me the Deep Ellum beer. And it was drinkable. But, you know, in a good way, okay, I got fucked out of $22, but that's all I spent. So I had one beer for $22, but I didn't buy any more. So if the Manhattan Project would have been fresh and good, shit, I might have been out $44, $45 in beer. So would you count that a win? I kind of do. I got to say, all this beer talk's making me thirsty, Mr. G. Up, what's going on?
It's been 2 weeks, motherfucker.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Oh, I got a good one tonight. Super excited. Just released today. So this bitch better be fresh. We've had a beer from this brewery on the show before, and they are the talk of the town in Houston. And actually, believe it or not, they're really big in China, of all places. The brewery's called Shelton Brewing. And got their newest one. It's called Yappin' Away. It's a hazy triple IPA. Oh, shit. It's late for this. 10%? Oh, my goodness. But this thing's supposed to be amazing. I've gotten some early reviews, and I'm like, all right, I got to get it. I missed the last few of the releases from Shelton due to being busy. So anyway, let's look at this thing. Oh, beautiful in color. I mean, it's like a thick orange juice over here. A little bit of head, a little bit of lacing, and it's kind of sticking to the glass there. Let me go for an aroma check. Oh, wow. It smells fresh. Let me clink myself. I'm ready to dig in. Oh, fuck me. Yeah, this is delicious. Delicious, I tell ya. One more drink. Oh, God. Yum, 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 yum. John, you know what to do.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, that is a four by far. Really great beer. Really nice. Very green, like I said, and really fruity, juicy, creamy. It's gonna be a great beer. I think it's gonna get a little bit better as it ages a bit more. So like I said, today is the first day it was released, so lucky me. All right, let's kick into another tune here before we go back to Triumph. This is a new band called Harsh, and the song's called Forever Yesterday. Band Harsh, man. I don't know where they came from. I don't know anything about them, but I discovered them tonight on YouTube. So that is a band I'm going to check out. I just added that song to my Spotify. I was like, wow, it's a cool fucking song. I like it. Kind of a throwback. And young guys doing it, right? So very cool. Love seeing that kind of stuff when it comes out. So back to the show. After the bad beer and people shitting in front of me, I got to my seat, and the seats were good. I enjoyed where I was sitting, and Lee was right, it's a nice venue. In a very unique venue, like I mentioned, where there's an indoor and outdoor, where the indoor being AC, it was comfortable, it was nice. And it wasn't an extremely hot day that day either, so it was, that kind of made for a nice time as well. So anyway, April Wine is the first band that came out. To be honest, not a huge April Wine guy. I do like them. The main songs I know from them are Sign of the Gypsy Queen and Just Between You and Me. And there's some other songs I know. They escape me at the moment. And I got to say, I think years ago, if you ever went to this store called Hastings, they were pretty cool. They were like a bookstore, CDs, records, vinyl, books, magazines, just about anything entertainment you could think of. Movies, stuff like that. Very cool store. I would go, and they would always have these like best ofs like on clearance for like $5. So I want to say I bought an April Wine best of like for $5. But again, the two favorite songs that always stick out are Sign and Just Between You and Me. And Sign of the Gypsy Queen, I love that solo. Wow, this is such a cool, like, good solo with feeling and stuff like that. So, was I excited to see him? Not really. I'd rather see Hear 'Em, Scare 'Em or Big Rack. I thought about Big Rack. I was like, oh, man, what a great opening act that would have been. But I think Triumph probably thought, hey, let's keep it old school. The fan base is going to be old school, which it was. Again, like, there's walkers and people wearing adult diapers and it's gray hair everywhere, blue hair. So yeah, it's an older crowd, let's just say that. But yeah, they were okay. I don't think there were any actual original members. There's one guy, I think the guitar player, had been in the band since like 77, 78, something like that. So I guess you could kind of call him original. I'm not sure when they formed. But I don't know. The lead singer guy was kind of annoying, and I didn't get into it. I didn't enjoy it. I thought they were really boring. And I'm like, oh man, maybe that's what they want. Let's get a band that's not going to blow us off stage. Hey, we're 70 years old. Let's get someone that's not going to upstage us. So, it is what it is. It is what it is. I mean, some people loved it. I saw people fucking singing, rocking, having a great time. So that's what it's all about, right? At the end of the day. Even if it's not my thing. So, then Triumph comes on. And I was worried about Triumph because Mike Levine wasn't going to be there because he's got health issues. But he is showing up at select shows, which I think, my guess, and I don't know this for a fact, I wonder if he showed up in San Antonio. Because San Antonio was like the first city in the U.S., I believe, that really kind of broke Triumph, or at least broke them in Texas. And they had a really strong kinship with this guy named Joe Anthony, the godfather of rock and roll. There in San Antonio on a rock station when I was going to college, we would all listen to Joe Anthony. Because he played good rock and roll music, big rocking guy. So I don't know if he ended up showing up there or not. But anyway, so you've got your fill-ins. You've got Phil X, who was in the band in the late 80s, early 90s after Rick Emmett left. I think they did the one record. Oh, wow, that'd be interesting. Why don't we play a song from that era and give Phil a little bit of kudos here. All right, let's do something from that record. I'll tell you what it was after this song. Let's do it.
Tear us apart, but then we never realized love was a compromise. Too many sleepless nights, too many jealous fights. It hurt the night I told her, oh baby.
Right, that was It's Over off Edge of Excess. That was Triumph's actually 10th record before they broke up. And like I said, it came out it was their first record with out Rick Emmett, who left in 88. So this one came out in 92. So it took them like, 4 years to, I guess, find out what they wanted to do. They needed a guitar player. Gil sings all the vocals on the record. And hey, not a bad record. I've got it. I remember really enjoying it. But as far as touring, I'm not sure they toured or anything like that for the record. But that's where the Phil X connection comes in. How they found Todd Kearns, I have no idea. Again, I don't know much about this guy. I think he plays with Slash. I know Eddie Spunk, like, jerks off all over him. I don't know. I have no idea. I just know the name. So, he's out there because when I listened to the Screecher, he was sucking his jock all the fucking time. And then they got a drummer guy. I don't even know who that guy is. And I don't really care because I went to the show to see Rick and Gil. They hadn't played together since 1988. So let me get my calculator out. Let's see here. 1988 minus 2026. Drum roll, please. 38 years. So I was excited. It's kind of funny because I was sure I'd seen them back in the day, but I've been told that maybe I was mistaken. I don't know. I know it was a dream I wanted to see them back in the day. But yeah, I was super excited about this show, and I was so bummed that Mike was not there. And they had these other guys on stage. I get it. You got to have a bass player, but do you really need Phil X? And at the beginning of the show, it turned into Phil X and Todd Kearns being very involved, a lot more than I thought they were going to be. And I just kept sitting there thinking to myself, I didn't come here to see Phil X and Todd Kearns. I came here to see Rick Emmett and Gil Moore. So at the beginning of the show, a lot of the solos were handled by Phil, and I'm like, can Rick not play anymore? Which made me question this whole reunion. I've been clamoring, I've been wanting this for a long time, but, you know, if they can't do it anymore, why tour? Is it just a money grab? Is it a money thing? Is it, hey, let's close the chapter that we never closed back in the day when Rick left? I mean, what are they doing? So I started the show with Follow Your Heart. And when they got to Follow Your Heart, Gil Moore did not even sing. He sang before that, and when he sings, his voice is still there. He has no problems. Rick, he has to go down an octave or two, but he still sounds amazing. But I was just like, what am I watching here? And I got so sour on Follow Your Heart when I saw it live because Rick could not do the high parts, so Phil X was singing the high parts. And I loved when Rick came in on the high parts. I don't know. I just don't understand this tour, to be honest. And I paid a lot of money to go see it, and unfortunately I had to eat a ticket because things didn't work out for someone to join me. And plus I drove to Dallas because I didn't want to see him in the shitty venue here, which I've talked about. But gas being high, all this, I wanted this magical moment to see Triumph. The last time, I guess first and last time I would ever see them, I wanted it to be so special. And I gotta say, I walked away like, I'm kind of disappointed. I mean, there were moments where I was like, oh, fuck yeah, this is awesome. And there were moments like I was scratching my head. Like, why am I here? Why'd I spend this money? Which is sad, because I love Triumph. I've got, I think, the majority of their catalog on CD or vinyl, whatever. Supported the band for a lot of years. Got a lot of live DVDs, stuff like that. And I just wanted to see the magic up on stage again. But with Todd Kearns taking Gil's vocals on several songs, and then Phil X taking a lot of the leads from Rick Emmett, I was like, man, I feel like I got fucked here a little bit because I didn't pay to see these other musicians. I paid to see Rick and Gil. So, I don't know. If you want to spend your money going to this tour, you may enjoy it. You may enjoy it more like me, but I think I had something in my head that didn't get delivered, and it really bothered me. And it bumps me out because I wanted to fucking love it. But I didn't. I went home and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money I spent for not what I expected. So I'm curious for anybody that's gone to the show to get your take on it. And did you have the same, were you going in with the same mindset as me? Like, hey, I got to see Rick and Gil on stage. This would be awesome. And they're going to have these guys supporting. Because when I first saw that first video with Phil X, I think they were doing Late on the Line or something like that. And Phil was helping on the high notes and on the choruses, but not singing any more than that. And then this Todd Kearns guy, I didn't know he would sing any of Gil Moore stuff. And when Gil sang his songs, he usually came out from behind the drums because they got this other drummer guy and sang. So why can't he come out there and do Follow Your Heart? He didn't have to drum on that song. I don't know. I don't get it. So anyway, that's my Triumph recap. Like I said, I'd be curious if some of you guys out there go see the show and what your thoughts are. I mean, you got my 2 cents. Or 6 cents. I don't know what it is. So people, let's jump into another song. This one, I'm really excited. I'm going to work on getting an interview for this one. This is Zan Cody. So if you guys are familiar with the 80s band, late 80s band called Shotgun Messiah, Harry Cody and Zin Jan have gotten back together. So the original vocalist for Shotgun and Harry Cody, monster guitar player, have gotten together, I don't even know how many years later, to do a record of their own. No Tim Tim this time. Just those guys. So let's play their lead-off single for their upcoming record. I believe it's coming out in July. Let's do it. Cody. So Ziddy Zan and Harry Cody of Shotgun Messiah. They did the first one together and then Ziddy left and Tim Tim took over on the vocals. But the record's called Beautiful and Damned. It's out on July 24th out on Frontiers. So I gotta say, I'm very excited to hear this and I'm really hoping I can score an interview with either Ziddy or Harry. Kind of found out what's been going on. I mean, Harry was going to be a guitar phenom. I mean, he was like ripping it up and everybody was like blown away. And then they did two records and then he did a third record that was just totally not Shotgun Messiah. It was more of a industrial sound. And that's where kind of Tim Tim went to. He did more of like a industrial thing after Shotgun Messiah parted ways. So last story of the night, and I found this kind of interesting, and I would be curious to get your takes on it, if you have thoughts. But this week, Roger Daltrey from The Who announced that, hey, we were the first heavy metal band. I always thought of The Who as a really just great hard rock band, not really metal. But Roger's out there saying, hey, we are. And Ian Pace from Deep Purple agrees. So Rogers is 80s now, and why he decided at 82 years old he had to come out and say, hey, we were the first metal band and all these other bands ripped us off, like Hendrix, Cream, Zeppelin. I mean, I kind of get it. They were different. They got a really hard rock thing going on. Were they metal? Probably not. I think, really, to be honest, I think Sabbath was probably really the first metal band. But I don't know. It's all up to debate, right? But I just found it kind of interesting that, you know, The Who's been around for, you know, fuck, 60, 70 years. And he's deciding now that, hey, we're metal. And Hendrix stole from Pete Townsend. And maybe they did. I mean, when you're coming up, you may borrow stuff from like a really big popular band. I love The Who. I tell you what, let's play a Who song real quick. Maybe we'll do a Shazam and shut this baby down. All right, The Who, Won't Get Fooled Again. Let's do it. Pulled Again by The Who of Who's Next, and that came out in 1971, and to me that's one of the heaviest Who songs there are. Bob O'Reilly's pretty, it's got, you know, got some balls to it too, came off the same record. But Roger, if you're saying you invented heavy metal, your heaviest stuff came out in 1971. No offense, sir. But that's my thoughts, and no knock. So my take on The Who, I do enjoy The Who a lot, and they've got a lot of great music. But I gotta say, you know, out of their catalog, it's hard for me to say, you know, I could say I've got a favorite album of theirs, but I can't say I love every song on my favorite record of theirs. That's the thing with The Who. I mean, it's not like the Stones or the Beatles where you like a lot of songs or every song on the record. The Who, it's a bit more of a, well, that song's okay. Oh, that song's great. That song's, I don't like it. So, that's my problem. And again, no knock against The Who. I love The Who. Great, great band. They put out so many great songs. But I don't know. They just, I mean, the records for me just, I didn't have consistent, like, favorites where I loved every track. Does that make any sense? I think it does. Well, it does to me. So anyway, guys, tell you what, it's getting late in the show, but I tell you what, we will do Shazam!
Shazam!
Thank you, Gomer. All right, let's see what my last Shazam was. I have not Shazammed in a while, which is not, I don't know. I've been so busy with other stuff that I just have not been doing the Shazam here recently. So I tell you what, here's one. And I don't even know how to pronounce the name of this band. But it was actually, I was at the same place that I was for the last Shazam I did. This is a band called 30H exclamation point 3. 30H3. I don't know. So the song's called Don't Trust Me. So, again, same place as I was last time I Shazammed. I guess I did a lot of Shazamming that night out of boredom because I was waiting up for my girl to get there and her brother. And I hit this song. So, again, I don't know this song per se. I just Shazammed it that night and I said, hey, that's pretty cool. So, we'll check it all out together. Let's do it. Shazam!
Cigarette on my teeth, and she's an actress. But she ain't got no need. She's got money from her parents in a trust fund back east. Tongues always pressed to your cheeks, while my tongue is on the inside of some other girl's teeth. You tell your boyfriend, if he says he's got beef, that I'm a vegetarian and I ain't fucking scared of him.
She wants to touch me, woo. She wants to love me, woo. She'll never leave me, woo.
Can I say that was fucking awful? I don't know what I was thinking. I was drinking some strong beers that night. Why Shazam that? I don't know. It must have been my mistake or Shazam fucked up because that was fucking awful. Oh my god! I think I talked about beer goggles like for your ears. I think that's what that was. I don't even know. I'm embarrassed. And then I put on Anthrax. I'm like, I need something kind of heavy. How about some new Anthrax? It's for the kids. And it's not for me. It's not very good. Hopefully their lead single is not representative of the rest of the record because that first song sucked. Sorry I played that too. I played two really shitty songs to end the show. That's not cool to you. My listening public, I'm so sorry. I got to apologize here. I was going on the flies. That one song was on. I hit the record scratch, and then I went. I was like, maybe the new Anthrax is good. And then no, it's better than that 3OH or whatever the fuck they are, guaranteed. Guys, I'm done. I'm done. I'm finished for this week. About to go back to Europe, so we're gonna have Ragman back on the road, and we're gonna have some fun with some friends over in Europe again. Hope you guys enjoy that. I always get a lot of good feedback when I do those shows. So that's coming up here in the next couple weeks. But before I let you go, I want to say thank you for listening every week. Thanks for your support, and thanks for your comments when you send them. Before I let you go, I'm going to give you one big holds up.